Right, go ahead and take your Bible tonight. Open up to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 11. 1 Timothy 4 and 11. While you're finding your place there, I'm going to go ahead and be early about begging your pardon for me and my family tonight. When service is over, we're not going to hang around a very long time. And we're going to head on out because Mr. WTVA weather app tells me that there's going to be tremendous downpours of rain between here and home, maybe between 8 and 8:30. And so when I say amen, I'm going to shake the first hand I come to, and I'm going to get northbound with the hammer down, buddy. Something about the rain, when my hair gets wet, buddy, it goes flat, and I cannot get over it. I see it. It gets mad. It gets down in my eyes, Brother Ernest. I can't see. But no, in all honesty, I don't see good at dark period, much less in the rain. So anyway, don't think we're being rude or not wanting to fellowship, but we will probably as soon as we can. We'll get along and head toward the house so we can maybe get in before the rain hits. One of the last times we raced the rain like that, man, we was doing good. I got about 3 minutes from the house, and it just started a torrential downpour. But it worked out. I let it shine out. She went in and got an umbrella, come back out and held it over me, and everything was just fine. So anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11, the Word of God says, "These things command and teach." These things command and teach. That's our verse tonight. We're going to hold with that one verse. And we're calling this the call for authoritative preaching. The call for authoritative preaching. You know, through our survey of 1 Timothy, you know that this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to that young preacher, Timothy, who he took under his wing, and he's basically counseling him just as he does in 2 Timothy. He's counseling him and tutoring him and mentoring him as to what it means and what it takes to be a New Testament preacher and to be the pastor of a local church. He had left Timothy there at First Baptist Ephesus, and he was pastoring that work, and it was not an easy work. And so he's charging him in all of his responsibilities, duties, both personal, private, and publicly. And what you find in verse number 11 is a call for authoritative when he says these things command and teach. There was a time when authoritative preaching, I'm not speaking about in the biblical times, but even I'm speaking in a later day. There was a day not too many generations ago when authoritative preaching was the norm, and it was also, for the most part, what was expected and what was accepted, but it's not that way now. We live in that day and hour that he warned Timothy about in this epistle, those latter days. And we live in those days of the itching ear, where they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and when they prefer a lie rather than the truth. And authoritative preaching is not on the menu for the modern day church. And I want to say that some fault lies with preachers for that. There is a difference between hard, H-A-R-D, preaching, and harsh, H-A-R-S-H, preaching. There's a difference between hard and harsh preaching. You can preach a hard message as long as you stay in the book, don't hurl insults and slanderous accusations at people. But there's been some preachers, even in our ranks and circles, who have built a reputation for themselves, not being a hard preacher, but being a harsh preacher, being mean-spirited and ugly about it. That's not what the Bible is talking about here. It's talking about authoritative preaching, which I was calling hard preaching. Not that it has a mean air about it or an ugly, disrespectful air, but that truth is hard at times. The truth sometimes is the hardest pill to swallow, is it not? That's why the Bible says that they brought to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's easier to accept a lie sometimes rather than the truth. But the truth is what we need. So call for authoritative preaching. He says to Timothy, these things command and teach. So we want to look at first the content of authoritative preaching. He says these things. Well, the question is, the obvious question, what are these things? Well, the immediate answer is the things he's talked about in verse number 6 through 10. He's talked about several things in verse 6 through 10, one of which is not the least is godliness. He's talked about godliness in verse number 6 through 10, and even previous to that, he's talked about some old wives' fables and different things. Really, you could say the contents of this entire chapter, with a little bit broader view, you could say the contents of the entire chapter, and even in the broadest view, you could say the contents of the entire epistle could be contained in these two words, these things. He's saying, what I have said to you, Timothy, that is these things, and these things are what you are to command and teach. And so that's those things given in the prior text. To preach these things is to preach expositionally, void of eisegesis. To preach these things, and for you and I, by the way, these things are not contained just to verses 6 through 10, or chapter number 4, or 1 Timothy, but it's contained within Genesis to Revelation. That's our command, to preach these things contained from Genesis to Revelation. And to preach these things in the proper authoritative way is to preach these things expositionally, void of eisegesis. That's two big words, and I think you're familiar with them by now, but I'm going to give you a brief understanding of them. To preach expositionally, it's where we get our word expose in the English language from, to preach expositionally, to preach expository messages is to expose what's there. It's to take the onion and peel it back layer by layer by layer. It's to take a verse or series of verses, a text of Scripture, and to show you, to demonstrate to you with authority. It's a call for authoritative preaching. It's to peel that onion back layer by layer and say, this is the Word of God, and this is what the Word of God says. And then Bible preaching is to show you what the Word of God is, what it says, and apply it to your life. That is what authoritative preaching is, and that's the call here for authoritative preaching. But we said that it is to preach expositionally, and then we said void of any eisegesis. Exegetical preaching, or rather eisegetical preaching, is exactly the opposite of expositional preaching. There's expository, there's an expository approach to the text, that is to expose, to peel away the layers of the onion, show you what's there. But then the opposite of that is to eisegete the Scripture, or to practice eisegesis. And what eisegesis is to not peel back the layers of the onion, not get to the root and the core of what the text is saying, thus what God is saying to you, but rather to take the text, to read it, and then to read into it what you want it to say. Eisegesis is reading into the text your own presuppositions, agendas, and biases. That's what eisegesis is. That's why you have so much doctrinal muddy water in our day, because people, preachers of all denominations and flavors, have practiced eisegesis. See, the thing is, we all have presuppositions, don't we? A presupposition is to presuppose, to have an idea beforehand. In other words, we already know what we think about the matter before we fully understand the matter, right? That's what a presupposition is. And you can't approach a text of Scripture with presuppositions, with agendas. You know what an agenda is? To have a desired outcome and an intent to make it come out that way. You can't approach a text of Scripture and expect to be honest with the Word of God with presuppositions and agendas and biases. You can't do that. You can't do that. You wind up practicing eisegesis, which is to read into the text what you wish it was saying. How many times have you seen, be honest before God, in your life, how many times have you heard preachers read a text of Scripture and preach a text, and they might not get too presuppositional, they might not present too many agendas or biases, and they may stay even relatively true to the text, but how many times have you heard a preacher read a verse or series of verses and go into a 30-minute, 45-minute, hour-long message and might preach a stem winder of a sermon, may preach till he's soaking wet and everybody's through all their handkerchiefs in there, but he hadn't said one dogged thing about the text, what the text says. He hadn't even got the outer skin off of the onion. You have no idea what's on the inside of that onion. Matter of fact, he's talked about oranges most of the time. That's eisegesis is what that is. And it's entertaining at times, but it's really got no place behind the pulpit. If we are not preaching the text, then there's no authority in our preaching. I can read a tremendous text of Scripture. You pick out whatever you think is the most tremendous text of Scripture in your Bible. I can read it, and then if I attempt to preach a message in an eisegetical way, in other words, not being expository and peeling off the layers of the onion, and I simply take and interject to your favorite text what I think it says, I have no authority. That message has no authority. You know why? Because it's preaching my presuppositions, my agendas, my biases, and it's not preaching what God has said in His Word. So the content of authoritative preaching is to be the Bible. Any preaching that is not biblically centered, any preaching that is not taking a text of Scripture, reading that text, and then dissecting that text and showing you what is what in that text, giving you the meaning of the text, giving you the application of that text to your life, that's not preaching. It's whatever else you want to call it, but it's not preaching, and it certainly doesn't have authority. And this is a call for authoritative preaching. So I want to be clear about that. If we're going to have authoritative preaching, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have to confine our preaching to covering the meaning of the text that we read, period. That's preaching, the content of authoritative preaching. Then secondly, there's the command of authoritative preaching. It says in the verse, these things command and teach. You see how we're doing that expositionally, by the way? You see how we took the first two words, we've explained them. Now we're on the third word. Isn't that amazing? That's expositional preaching. He said, these things command. Command. It's a verb, and it's in the present active imperative. What does that mean? Well, it means a direct command or prescription. It deals with authority. These things command. Brother Boozer, he didn't say these things suggest. He didn't say these things promote. He said these things command. Now, I'll tell you something. If these things are not falling within the confines of what we talked about for the first several minutes, which is within the layers of the onion contained in the text, if you're preaching eisegetically and just preaching your presuppositions, agendas, and biases, then you can't command that because you don't have any authority for that. But when you're staying with the text, when you're preaching expositionally and you're reading the words of God and you're peeling back the layers and saying, now this word means this, you've got authority now. Because you've not reached out with presuppositions, agendas, and biases, but you are saying, thus saith the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is what it says. This is what it means. And this is how it applies to your life. There is authority with that. So there's the command of authoritative preaching. It is present. That means right now. It's active. It's imperative. It gives a direct command. These things command. Command. That's how preaching is supposed to be. Don't be misunderstood when I say that. It doesn't mean that I'm supposed to go and stand by your pew and point at you and call you out. There was a time as a younger preacher when I actually did have a head full of hair that I'd do that. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what it's talking about at all. But it's talking about not tiptoeing around things either. It's talking about taking a text of Scripture, one more time, can I say it? Taking a text of Scripture, unwrapping, digging into that text of Scripture, dissecting it, showing you the individual parts, telling you what it means, and then applying it to your life, and doing that in an authoritative way, unapologetic sort of way. See, if I was preaching my presuppositions, my agendas and biases, then I might feel some need to be apologetic. I might feel some sort of a need to apologize for what we have said or what we've implied. But if we stick with the text, there's no need to apologize for truth. There's no need to apologize for the Word of God. That's why we are to command. Command. That's what man requires. Man is not a soft, delicate creature. Now, we try to promote ourselves this day and hour that we live in. Everybody's soft. Everybody's so easily offended and all of those sort of things. But I'm going to tell you about the Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And he said that the man of God is supposed to take the Word of God and he is to command. He is to command. Now, I remember years ago, I was told about a church that was looking for a preacher. And someone was talking to me about that church, and they said, the thing is, there are certain things there that you can't preach about. There are certain things that's off-limit, like gambling and drinking and so on, because a lot of people on the deacon board, they had some nasty habits that they didn't want to hear anybody talking about. And I said, well, I'd be glad to go and preach for them, but I'm going to tell you right now, first thing I'm going to preach on is drinking, and if they let me preach a second time, it's going to be gambling. That's going to be the next thing I'm going to preach about. What I'm saying to you is that's what can't happen if you're going to have authoritative preaching. You take the Word of God and you handle the Word of God just like we have here in 1 Timothy. We started in where? Chapter 1, verse number 1, correct? And you went to verse number 2 and 3 till you make your way to chapter 2 and you start in verse number 1 there and you go through and where and when it exhorts, then you exhort. That's what you do. But I want to tell you something. When it rebukes, you rebuke. And you don't apologize for that. You don't give that a wink and a nod and all shucks and move on down the line. I've seen that. I've seen preachers who were trying to be a biblical expositor. But when they come to certain texts, I remember hearing a preacher preach in this very same book that we're making our way through. Preaching his way through the entire book. And when he got there to chapter 3, dealing with the qualifications of a preacher. Because he had some friends and preached some men who were not qualified. He had to tiptoe through the tulips. He had to handle it lightly. I'll tell you what a man ought to do, rather than burying his nose in a book for 3 days getting ready to preach that message, he ought to bury his nose in an altar for a little while and get right with God over preaching men that ain't qualified to preach the Word of God. Amen. You ought not ever have anybody stand behind the pulpit that because you've had them preach, now you've got to compromise when you come to certain texts in the Word of God. Amen. That ought not be the case. Never should that ever be the case. Amen. You lose the people's confidence when you handle yourself that way. You're going to have to pastor in such a way and live in such a way that you can come to any text in the Word of God, and if you'll approach it in an expositional manner, stay within the confines of the text, no presuppositions, any of those things, that you can unravel that onion layer by layer till you get to the very core layer. Get to the very core layer. I heard that very same man preaching there about women and women's modesty and so on and so forth in this very same epistle. You know what he had to say? Here's what he said. I ain't trying to be ugly, but I am trying to be honest if you see some things. Here's what he said. He said, now, ladies, y'all know what modest apparel is. Well, bless unto God, good neighbor. Why didn't they just stay home that night? We come to church to hear you, Reverend. To hear you, Pastor, tell us the meaning of the text. We came here for you to read a text of Scripture and to take it and dissect it and give it to us and show us the meaning of the text. That's what we want. That's what we need. That's what authoritative preaching is. But he couldn't do that. You know why he couldn't do that? Because his wife wore bullfighting breeches all the time, and all the women of the church did, and all the big donors did. And if he'd have preached what that text really meant about long, loose, flowing, modest apparel, robe type of apparel, you know what it would have done? It hair-lipped about half the she-devils in the congregation, and they'd had a ride on their hands what they'd have had. Amen. You might like that. You might not like that. I still love you either way. But that's what the text means. That's how he should have preached it. That's how I'm going to preach it. And if I preach it next week and the week after and 20 years from now, that'll be the same way we preach that text because that's what it said. If you're going to preach with authority, you got to let the text say what the text says. It doesn't matter what the preacher thinks. We don't need his presuppositions, agendas, and biases. But I'll tell you what we do need. We need to know what the text says. We need to know all of what it says And we don't need sheepish preachers blushing and kicking the dirt and saying, y'all know what it means. No, we don't know what it means. That's what we're here for, is for you to tell us what it means. And maybe I do know what it means, but guess what? My daughter needs to hear what it means. She's heard daddy tell her what it means, but she needs you to tell her what it means. She needs you to grow a backbone. She needs you to get a spine. She needs you to preach the Word of God to her. Amen. Somebody ought to preach the Word of God. And when you preach the Word of God, you ought to be able to have enough rooting and grounding in the Word of God, enough biblical foundation to stand upon, that you don't have to hang your head and be shameful and apologetic. You ought to be able to say what the text says. Say what the text says. That's all you got to do. Say what the text says and leave it there. Amen. You don't have to defend it. You don't have to apologize for it. Say what the text says. Ain't that the kind of preaching you want? It's the kind of preaching I want. I need somebody to tell me what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? There's the command of authoritative preaching. There ought to be authority. There ought to be a sense of command coming from the pulpit. There ought to be. And there can only be that sense of command and authority if it is rooted and grounded in the text, the truth of the Word of God. Thirdly, and finally, there's the continuation of authoritative preaching. He said, these things command and teach. Command and teach. The word teach there means to provide authoritative instruction, to make habit of formal teaching. To make habit of formal teaching. We know what habit is. It's something that you do over and over and repeatedly, like Miss Shandon dipping snuff. It's just an everyday thing, amen. Over and over and repeatedly. She gets mad every time I say something like that. Tell me you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, only one barks as one gets hit, amen. Well, it says to provide authoritative instruction, to make habit of formal teaching. That's what this is, formal teaching tonight. You're gathered together in a formal setting. You're sitting before me. I've opened the Word of God. I'm teaching you what the Word of God says. And listen, authoritative preaching ought not happen once in a while, every few months, or that sort of thing. It ought to be a consistent thing. It ought to be on a regular basis. It ought to be when we meet together. It ought to be every time. We ought to be teaching. We ought to be making habit of it in a formal type setting, in an official kind of way, in an official capacity, making habit of it. You know why churches are weak? You know why churches are anemic? You know why churches are watered down and weak, crippled, and dying? It's because there's no authoritative preaching. It's because we've completely abandoned expository preaching. We've wholeheartedly embraced eisegetical preaching, and we feast on a bunch of presuppositions, agendas, and biases, and no preacher has any authority anymore. He doesn't preach with any authority. You know why? Because he's preaching his own agenda. He's not preaching the Word of God. Don't tell you something. When you preach the Word of God, you have authority in that. You have foundation. You can sail the course. You can sail the river with that, beloved. You can stay with that. And the people need that consistently. I don't need the Word of God just once in a while. I need it regular, don't you? I need every time I come to the house of God, I need the Word of God delivered to me. I need the meaning of the text. I need the application of the text. That's what we need. And that's what he's telling Timothy here. These things, meaning for Timothy, the things of this epistle, meaning for me and you, the entirety of the Word of God. These things command, not suggest. Oh no, command. These things command and teach, meaning command it regularly. Explain it regularly. Every time you get together, take a text of Scripture, unpeel, unravel the layers of the onion, show them what it means to the core of the text, show them the Word of God and what it means, and then show them how to apply it to their life. That's what it means. That's what it means here, to command. These things command and teach. If you do that, you have authoritative preaching. You say, if somebody does that, does that mean the whole congregation is going to take to it? And everybody's just going to do right? No. It's not going to create some utopian environment in your church. You're still going to have people that balk, people that rebel, people that leave. You're probably not going to build a huge church, but it will achieve the goals that God has for preaching. It will take God's precious little flock and it will give them the milk of the word. It will grow them onto the meat of the word, and it will strengthen them into the people of God that they're supposed to be. And as a collective, cohesive body, it will grow the church into what it's supposed to be. Now, I won't tell you who's the greatest benefactor of all of that. I didn't even mention him yet, but the preacher's the greatest benefactor of all of that. If a preacher practices authoritative preaching, which is what? Expository preaching. See, you can't just take a little verse of scripture and read it and then put your little presuppositions into it. You've got to mine some things out of it. And here's the reality. Anytime you prepare a true expositional message, you'll take in more than you'll put out. You'll take in more than you'll put out. That's exactly. So who's growing the most? If I'm giving you a lot, but I took in more than that, who's growing? It grows that preacher. It grows that preacher. And so he's the great benefactor in it all. He's the great benefactor in it all. It's the call for authoritative preaching. Would to God that our churches in the day that we live in would get back to authoritative preaching, which is not about who's the loudest, not about who's the longest, but it's about who's the most biblical. Who's the most biblical? Because that's where our authority comes from, and we have no authority outside of the book. Amen. Amen. All right, let's all stand, if you will. Brother Ernest, Sister Willistein, come and read us a hymn. We'll have a time of invitation here. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you tonight for allowing us to be in the house of God, gathered together with your people. Lord, I pray that you'd take the text, this one short verse we've read tonight, and precious Holy Ghost of God, that you do that, that only you can, Lord, that you would cause it to find lodge and place in our heads. But more than that, Lord, that it find lodge and place in our heart. God, thank you for authoritative preaching. Lord, thank you for textual preaching. Thank you for preachers that will open the Word of God and show us what the Word of God says. Lord, help this church to always be a beacon and a light that loves the Word of God and loves the preaching of the Word of God. Help us love it, promote it, practice it, and defend it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.